This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hello and welcome to the Ice Guys. This is the show that takes you into the world of the National Hockey League. Every game, every day, from a betting perspective. With pro sports handicappers, Ian Cameron, Alex P. Smith, and various guests from the world of hockey and sports betting. And now, here's your host, Ian Cameron.
Welcome to the Ice Guys, presented by Boston Hemp, Inc., Monday, June the 10th. Ian Cameron, Alex B. Smith with you. And joining us today, special guest. In fact, if you are part of our Player Suite interview series from last summer, last offseason, we had this man on our show. One of our interview guests was Marc-Antoine Pouliot, but we haven't seen him since. So it's great to have him back here to get us ready for Game 2 here in the Stanley Cup Final tonight, Panthers and Oilers. Marc-Antoine Pouliot back on the show. Pouli, how are you? How are things?
I'm great. Thanks for the invite again. It's always a pleasure to be there.
Now, you played, of course, in Switzerland this past year, but you're back home now in Canada. Enjoying the offseason so far?
Yeah. I really do. It goes fast. I have a family now, three kids, so really busy, but no, everything's going great. It's going really fast.
Yeah, no question. It's before you know it, you'll be back in Geneva Servette there, Marc-Antoine, before you know it. It'll be the start of a new season over there in Switzerland. By the way, he is returning to Switzerland and playing once again next year in the Swiss League in Geneva. And of course, small world, right? Marc-Antoine Pouliot, we just discovered like the last few months that we had Mike Volman on the show a few months ago, big analytics guy, numbers guy, very fascinating, his viewpoint on NHL stuff, especially from a betting standpoint. Well, Mike's Marc-Antoine Pouliot's teammate, and he's, like I said, we were talking off air, Pouli, that he is very good with numbers, very good in terms of analytical thinking. He'd be the guy where if you were at a team event and you were all going to the bar, he'd be the one figuring out the bar tip for every player. You know, he'd be able to nail that and get it right. So that's the kind of guy he is, Mike, your teammate.
Yeah, absolutely. He's a smart guy, numbers guy, and he likes to bet not only on a lot of sports, and he knows everything, what's going on every day about every sport. So he's the guy you have to ask what's going on today, and he'll tell you exactly what tournament and what game's on.
Yeah, no question. He could tell he's got that ability. We could tell when we had him on the show. Before we get into recapping game one, just a couple of things here. Jimmy Murphy might be along today. He did let me know that with no Friday show, he says, when am I going to get on? And he said, well, I can maybe jump on Monday when game two. But so maybe he's going to try to jump on at some point. Brett Skalski was going to be with us on today as well, but something for work for him came up. And we also wanted to point out this also could be the last Monday of the last Monday show, I should say, of the season, unless this series goes to game seven, which would be on Monday, June the 24th. So in case this is the last Monday show and we don't see Brett again, I did want to take a moment to acknowledge his contribution to the show all season on Mondays. And we thank him for joining us throughout the course of the season, mostly on Mondays. So shout out to Brett Skalski if he ends up watching the show here at some point. Game one recap. First of all, I want to mention Ladislav Schmid was phenomenal. Absolutely tremendous guest. Hilarious as shit. I love that he's swearing at bombs shit left and right, you know, just cussing left and right with the kid right next to him. That's just something that was
no that filter.
Yeah. Typical Lottie, no right?
Yes. Yes.
typical Lottie. But yeah, he was hilarious. He might join us again next week, actually, for another episode during later on in the series. But what are your memories, Mark Antoine, of playing with Ladislav Schmid? Because you two were teammates with the Oilers many years ago.
Yes, exactly. I have great memories with Laddie. He's actually one of my good friends in the team. On the ice, of course, but off the ice, we would grab a couple of beers. We would go around. Like you said, hilarious, no filter. He just doesn't care about what the other people think, and he has a lot of funny, good stories. And I believe his dad was also a hockey player in Czech.
Yep.
So he's from a hockey family. He's a very good athlete, very strong man. So it was a pleasure to play with him. I know in the last years he has neck and a couple injuries problems. So I believe he's retired now, or almost. Yep. Yeah, he just retired. I know he played in Czech. Yeah. Yep. So no, I had great memories with him.
Yeah, and he made sure to let us know that all this propaganda that we're hearing about the country now being called Czechia instead of Czech Republic, it's a bunch of garbage. He says, keep calling it Czech Republic. Don't worry about trying to be correct and politically correct in this with saying Czechia. You're not going to get in trouble. He prefers Czech Republic. Speaking of that, too, I did want to congratulate him for he just announced the other day that he's going to be coaching or assistant coach on the under 20 Czech Republic national team. So that's basically the World Junior Hockey Championship next year when Czech Republic plays. We're going to be seeing a certain Ladislav Schmid behind the bench as an assistant coach. So congrats to him on that opportunity. Very cool. Assistant coach for the Czech World Junior team, effective immediately. So that's great for him. He'll probably be just a great coach to work with, just like he was a great guest on the show to work with last week. But great opportunity for him, and we wish him all the best with that. Let's go right to Mark Antoine with just initial thoughts on game one. I'm sure you got a chance to see game one, Panthers and Oilers. Really, the main takeaway from the game was it was a goalie Bob show. You know, Sergei Bobrovsky was absolutely outstanding, tremendous. I think if you're Edmonton, you come out of that game thinking, we played one hell of a game, even though the process was great, the result was not. That was basically what you come out of that game feeling, you know, if you're the Edmonton Oilers. But at the end of the day, you know, you could not cash in on your opportunities. They've made a big time deal about a lot of the shots the Oilers took on Bobrovsky were low along the ice, where Bobrovsky's strength is, where most of the goals that have been scored on him in the playoffs have been elevated above the shoulder, you know, under the crossbar. You know, they just didn't get the puck up often enough. Edmonton with their chances. Look, Oilers were tremendous in game one, probably deserved a better fate. But at the same point in time, I can't listen to Oilers fans crying, you know, tears left and right about the loss, saying, oh, we got totally, we got robbed. We should be up 1-0 in this series. We were the much better team. And I don't want to hear it. Your goalie stole game six in the Western Conference final against the Dallas Stars when Skinner, he was terrific in that game. So, you know, turnabout's fair play. You know, that's what happens sometimes. A goalie can, you know, can win a game for you, you know, and Edmonton was on the right side of that against Dallas in game six. Now they felt the other side of the coin on Saturday night with game one against Florida. It's one of those deals, too, where I think all fan bases, you guys, they get so upset when a goalie is the main reason their team loses a game. And they go off the rails saying, oh, well, we were the better team. We're the team that's better than them. We should be up 1-0, even though they're not. And I get that to a point. But the goaltender in this sport, as you guys know, is just imperative to success. Are the Kansas City Chiefs going to say, you know what, take that Super Bowl back, you know, that we won because we have Patrick Mahomes? Are they going to apologize for having Patrick Mahomes? No, they will not. The goalie in hockey is the quarterback in football. He can win a game by himself. You know, that's why the Chiefs are the Chiefs going to apologize for winning games with Patrick Mahomes, winning them by himself so many times? No, they will not. Think about all the best pitchers in baseball in the course of our lifetime. Sandy Koufax, all of them. Are those baseball teams going to apologize that those pitchers help them win games all by themselves sometimes? You know, no, they won't. That's just the way it is. You know, the goaltender, you don't apologize for having a tremendous goaltender or having a goaltender that put forth a performance like Bobrovsky did on Saturday night and say, well, you know what? Edmonton had the more chances, the more shots, the, you know, carried the play. They should be the team up 1-0. I don't buy into that argument anymore. Florida deserves to be up 1-0 because their goaltender was tremendous in that game. I'm cool with that, even though there's the chances and the shots and all that went against them. Like I said, Chiefs aren't giving back the Super Bowl when Patrick Mahomes wins, you know, half a dozen, if not more, of their games all by himself. So why should the Panthers give back game one or apologize for winning game one because Bobrovsky was that good? So that's the way I see it. Pooley, what did you think of game one on Saturday?
Well, I think if I'm the Edmonton Oilers, I feel pretty good actually about the game because they had good opportunities. They had a lot of, you know, a lot of the guys were playing intense. Like I'm feeling at the fourth lines, they play pretty good. And like you said, the goalie is the most important player in hockey. I'd say it's 50, like it's half the game is the goalie. So, you know, they play better as a team, but the goalie, I mean, Skinner didn't play bad. And but Bobrovsky stole a game, and that's what's going to happen. But if they bring the same energy, I feel like they're probably going to win game two. That's my feeling, unless Bobrovsky makes miracle again. But when you have the two best players in the league, and you have the best power play, you got a guy like Bouchard, like they have the 5-6 best, like the top players in the league there, and they played well. I feel like if they bring the same energy and not the attitude, like we got stole by, like kind of like the fans, that's my feeling. When it's a team in Canada, the fans are always up a level about stuff and just, you know, relax. It's only one game. There's a lot of series that I've been winning by the other team that lost the game one. That's not the end of the world, but you don't want to be down 2-0 going to Edmonton. But I feel like they're probably going to win game two if they bring the same energy and the same focus. And then going back to Edmonton after being tied 1-1, it's, you know, they'll take that for sure.
At the end of the day, if they win tonight game two and go 1-1 back to Edmonton, yeah, there's no question. They will be happy with that. Alex, game one, like I said, Panthers win 3-0. That was not close to their best game, but don't have to apologize when you have a goalie that good.
No, this is what the playoffs are all about. It's all about having a goaltender that can steal you a game and the rest of the team doesn't show up. Some teams have that. Other teams don't. And that's why Florida's here in this spot with a 1-0 lead in the Stanley Cup final. You know, like I say, there's no reason to apologize for it. If you're an Edmonton fan, you know, grab a napkin or something and dry your tears and get ready for game two. If you're an Edmonton player, like, you know, Mark said, you know, don't be discouraged by what happened. Goalies are going to steal games, but you guys played well and showed up. It wasn't a complete no show of an effort. It just didn't work out in your result and in your favor. But stay the course, continue the shots. You have to have 97 and 29, you know, leading the charge and taking over the game. And those shots will eventually find their way through Bobrovsky. He's not a complete brick wall just yet. I mean, he's been lights out. Don't get me wrong. He's certainly been the best goaltender in this postseason. But, you know, you can find a way to solve him. But they have to not get discouraged, not get down on themselves, you know, and realize, okay, we have this first game. Got it out of the way, you know, the jitters, especially, like I said, for McDavid, this is his first Stanley and Draisaitl. These are their first appearances in a cup final game. This is a different level of hockey. This is the highest level of hockey. And there's still going to be jitters, whether you've been playing for 10 years, 15 years, whatever. When you get to this point, you realize what this means to you in your career and your team. You still have that. So I think getting that out of the way is going to be a big thing as well. I think we see a much more relaxed but not a discouraged Edmonton team here in game two.
Absolutely. And I think that's the frustrating part, I think, for Edmonton. We did so many good things. We really kept Florida's chances at a minimum. We were in the offensive zone. We had a ton of brilliant chances throughout that hockey game. And at the end of the day, we haven't lost to show for it. When on the flip side, I'm sure Edmonton knows, can we really bank on Florida being that subpar again? Like, let's be real. I mean, this is not like this has been a pattern for Florida where in the playoffs, Sergei Bobrovsky's had to bail them out, you know, as far as winning games. The majority of these Florida victories especially the Boston series and the Rangers series, they outplayed the Bruins and the Rangers thoroughly at times, you know, in both of those series. They carried the play. They dictated terms. They were all over it in the offensive zone. You know, this has not been a Florida team that's had the goalie steal one for them very often here in the playoffs, because more often than not, they've been the team on the front foot. They've been the team putting the opponent on the back foot. That was a very rare instance to me Saturday night in game one when we did not see that. So, and look, Florida did have trouble with Edmonton's puck moving ability. And I think the defenseman jumping in to the rush as well. And just the quick puck movement, the speed of McDavid did back off the defense a few times in game one. I just think, look, you're playing Edmonton for the first time in many, many months. That's an adjustment that might take a game to make. And you can speak to that, Pooley. When you see this team with the way they move the puck, Edmonton, and when you have Connor McDavid's an interesting case study, right? Isn't your goal, make sure you get him moving sideways, right? Make sure you get him moving east-west instead of north-south. Because if you have someone ready to get in the way of his initial north-south path up the ice, you at least have a chance to track him down, catch him, and create a takeaway of the puck. Whereas if there's no one immediately in front of him and you give him that room to go north-south, we know what his speed can do. And then you're at the point where even though you're maybe 10 feet, you know, in front of him, you know, you've still got to back up because he's that fucking fast, Connor McDavid, and it really puts you in a bad spot. That's kind of the way you want to defend him. But as you would probably think, right, Marc-Antoine, it's probably easier said than done.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a good point you made that they didn't play them for a few months. And, you know, they've played only Eastern Conference teams. And now they're up against Edmonton. They were, I wouldn't say not ready, but it's an adjustment. And I think the Panthers know they can play better. And they have to contain these guys, McDavid and Draisaitl. But if they do and they get up 2-0, then they're going to be in good posture. But yeah, I think they will adapt. I'm sure the coach, they have a great coach. I'm sure he's been talking about a lot of stuff and what to adjust. And but like I said, I really liked the speed and the focus of the Oilers. I felt like they were really focused. And if they keep that, I think they're going to win tonight.
Yeah, as someone that was on Florida in game one, which I was, and I know Alex says Florida to win game one in the series. We're thankful Bobrovsky was ready to go there in game one the other night, because I'll be honest, I did not think I thought they would win. Alex thought they would win game one as well, Florida, but not in that fashion, where Edmonton was just really quite honestly all over them for the majority of the game. You know, that's the way it was. But here's the thing, and we'll talk about.
For the ones who know safety isn't a catchphrase, it's a culture, and the ones who help make sure everyone makes it home safe. For the safety-minded who watch everyone's backs, Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as safety assessments and training to keep your facilities safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
This now, as we get into game two tonight, Edmonton and Florida. Florida minus 130 home favorites, 5.5 the total. Of course, Florida leading the series 1-0. Is Florida going to play that bad again for a second straight game? You'd be very surprised if that's the case. So you would expect more of an offensive forechecking, especially on the forecheck. I thought Florida they didn't have the puck enough to really get in on the forecheck. And there was not many of those Florida shifts that we saw in the Boston series and the New York Rangers series, especially, where they're just cycling the puck around. They're working the defense. And they are all over the Oilers. We didn't see that compared to what we saw with the Bruins and the Rangers. One thing they did do there, though, still, Florida, is take the body. And led by Sam Bennett had, 11 hits in game one? He was just taking the body at every opportunity. Very, very important to do. He went after McDavid, you know, on one shift where there was a big collision with him and Connor McDavid at the blue line. Those are the kind of body blows. That's the kind of punishment you want to deal out, you know, in game one, and have that continue, because it adds up. you know, those body blows and that physical wear and tear and punishment that you inflict, you know, on your opponent, it can definitely add up over the course of the series. So, you know, it's going to be interesting to see if Florida continues the physicality. You would think they will. It's very interesting when you look at the game one advance numbers. The expected goal numbers for Edmonton were over five, which is not surprising because they had so many amazing chances, and it was below two for Florida. So it's something in the 5.4 to 1.9 range, something along those lines in terms of expected goals. But what I'm trying to get at is the expected goals for game one combined would have gotten you pretty close to seven. And yet this total remains at 5.5. This could very well be an under series. It's a very, very tricky handicap personally for me in game two tonight, because I feel Edmonton, you know, in a bounce back spot. They've been very good off a loss too. I think the only time they've lost two in a row in these playoffs were game two against Dallas and game three against Dallas, those back-to-back games in the Western Conference Final. It's really the only time the Oilers have dropped two in a row here in the playoffs. So, you know, when I look at it here, it plus the power play, neither power play got on the board. 0-for for the Edmonton Oilers. I respect the Panthers' penalty kill, and I said this going into the series on our preview show. Panthers' penalty kill is phenomenal. But they did take a few penalties. They had, what, four penalties in the game? And, you know, that's walking a fine line, where as good as the Panthers' penalty kill is, I don't know if they'd keep it a clean sheet against this lethal Edmonton power play for a second straight game. So, you know, I think both teams with the man advantage have an opportunity to get on the board here. We'll see if that's indeed the case. I'm going to go, it's risky here because, look, I think the games in Edmonton definitely can and will open up once we get back to Alberta, game three and in game four of this series in particular. Edmonton's kind of dictated their terms and gotten a few more calls, you know, in the games at Rogers Place. We'll see if that continues here. I'm keeping this very small because this is not with a boatload of extreme confidence, but I am going to take a shot with over trifecta here tonight and split it up with three small bets evenly, including the both teams to score, because the way that I see that in the first period tonight, and you get a really good number on that, is Florida knows they got to start better, you know, and I know they actually scored early, 1-0 in game one, but other than that one shot that went in on that Verhaeghe, which was a brilliant pass by Barkov on that Verhaeghe goal, it was all Edmonton pretty much in that first period. So, you know, I think Edmonton, too, they know they had a bunch of chances. They know probably got to do a better job of maybe elevating the puck when they get those close-in looks. So I do think that first period over, and especially the both teams to score, is live, because I do think Florida will have a much better start, and they will do a better job carrying the play in the first period, at least closer to 50-50 split as far as, you know, offensive zone time, puck possession, you know, those kind of numbers, because they know they can't get throttled like that, you know, for a second straight game right off the shoot early in the game. There's only one significant lineup change for game two tonight. It looks like Florida's going with the same lineup pretty much. Edmonton, for the most part, going with the same lineup, especially up front. But the one change is for Edmonton. Cody Ceci is out on the blue line. Of course, that was a lot of criticism from Oilers fans, especially after game one, that the Nurse and CeCe pairing on the blue line just didn't have a very good game. So CeCe ends up being the odd man out. He's a healthy scratch tonight. And Vinny Deharnais draws back in for the Edmonton Oilers, and he will play on that second pairing with Darnell Nurse tonight for the Edmonton Oilers. Of course, Ekholm and Bouchard will stay together, and Kulak and Broberg will stay together on the third pair for the Edmonton Oilers. So I like the switch by Knobloch. Look, there's a physical team that you're playing, a physical series, and that's Deharnais. He's a physical player. You need a little more of that. Even if he's not going to do anything offensively, you don't mind it. You just want him to be sound defensively. He had that bad moment in game four, I think it was, against Dallas. That's kind of when he ended up, or it was game three or game four, where he kind of had a bad shift and it led to a Dallas goal, and he really hasn't played since then. But he's back in now. He's physical. Even if he does nothing offensively, just be sound defensively. And the one thing he will do is he'll hit everything in sight. And in a series like this, you know, this deep into the playoffs, Alex and I talk about it, you know, you got to take the body at every opportunity because you want those warts to add up over the course of the best of seven series. And Vincent Desharnais will indeed do that. He will hit everything in sight. And even if that's the only element that he brings to the Edmonton Oilers tonight for game two, it's a positive element. It's something that has the chance, you know, to help this team moving forward in this series. And he blocks a lot of shots too. He does do that. And that's certainly going to help. So Vincent Desharnais is the one change for Edmonton. He's in on the blue line tonight. So that's about it for me. It's just a small over trifecta bet. I'm not going to fall into this idea of, well, Edmonton outplayed Florida in game one. Edmonton off a loss is a good angle. I get it. But I don't like the value. I just don't to take Edmonton. I mean, this opened minus 145. It's down to minus 130. You're only getting like plus 110. Maybe plus 114, 15 if you're lucky right now to take Edmonton. I just don't think that's the value I'm looking for with the Oilers. Plus, I do believe the Florida Panthers are going to play a lot better. And if they raise their game, and let's say they bring their A game tonight instead of the C-plus game we saw against Edmonton in game one. And I'm being kind when I say C-plus. It could have been even C-minus even, if not for Bobrovsky. I'm only giving them a C-plus grade for game one because of the way Bobrovsky played. But if they bring an a B-plus game or an A game tonight especially, I don't know if Edmonton's best game can beat that with what I've seen from the Florida Panthers. So I'm off the side, but I'd actually lean Florida now, you know, at the price where it is here, minus 130. What do you think here, Alex? Game two, Oilers-Panthers.
Yeah, like we, you know, alluded to at the beginning, you know, Edmonton, like I said, they outplayed Florida. And if you look at all the metrics and just the, what was happening on the ice, but they just didn't get the result. So you can't be discouraged. You have to come in with that same kind of energy and intensity, if not more energy and intensity early in the contest. Like I said, for Florida, they just have to step their game up. Even if they play even average hockey, they should be right in that same spot. And if they can play better than average hockey, bring their actual A game here, then that could spell trouble for Edmonton. Because if Florida can get the offense rolling, and if they can find a way to get pucks past Skinner early, that's when the doubt starts to really can maybe start to creep back in with Edmonton as far as the players go of saying, oh, here we go now. We had our chance to, you know, play well and then end up, you know, having the game taken from us. And now here we are, you know, getting our asses kicked. So that's the thing you have to avoid for Edmonton. You have to bring the fight to them, but you have to make sure that you guys don't bury yourselves in the process as well. Got to keep things even keel. So I'm staying off of first period over. I might look for the full game over in game because I do think we can see some more scoring. I don't think, like I said, Bobrovsky, I don't see him turning in a back-to-back shutout. I mean, personally wouldn't mind that because I have Bobrovsky cons my futures, which, I mean, at this point now, you're looking at plus 175, plus 180 to what was plus 450 before game one. So, obviously, getting a shutout really helps in that case. But, you know, this is definitely going to be, I think, a more elevated game for both teams. It simply has to be. For Florida, you have to just have a better overall game. You can't rely on Bob to just give you every 10-bell save. The offense has to come through. And both teams, I think, have to avoid getting, you know, taking a bunch of penalties. Obviously, we know about, you know, Edmonton with how lethal their power play is, but both these teams have really good penalty kills. And I just think, you know, just keeping the game a little cleaner would help, especially in Edmonton's edge as well. Just kind of, you know, working the clock in their favor as well. And that's going to be the big thing. I think, you know, cleaner game, but a more energetic game we'll see for both of these clubs. So I'm staying off of a side. There's no reason for me to bet Edmonton. I have Florida 4-1 and Florida 4-2. At good prices. So that's already implied that I like an Edmonton win at some point. So at plus 110, yeah. Like I said, there's not enough value for me to grab that. The only thing I'm looking at here would be player props, like Alexander Barkov to get a goal at plus 260. And I kind of leaning, and I haven't made a decision on it yet still, but with Edmonton, could they get the first goal of the game? I feel like they possibly could do that. And I've seen even money plus 105 for that. So that more than likely will end up being on my final card as well. Edmonton getting the first goal, Barkov to get an anytime goal at plus 260. And then I also have a higher player prop that I'm looking for in the bargain.
All right. Good stuff there. Pooley, what do you think here? Game two tonight. How do you think it goes? Edmonton, Florida.
You guys brought a lot of good points here. to be honest, I think it's going to be really tighter. But I really think Edmonton's going to win tonight. the reason is I don't think they're going to be shut out. Their power play is going to score right away. A lot of urgency. I feel like they probably got to score the first goal on the power play or something like that. I feel like there's a lot of urgency in that team. Not that there's none in Florida, but that's just my feeling. I haven't said that. The value, like you guys said, is not that great. So you got to think for yourself on that one. But I feel like Edmonton's not going to lose two in a row. The top player is going to lead all these five guys on the power play. I just feel like they're too dangerous. Too dangerous not to score back-to-back games. Bobrovsky is good, but they're going to find a way. But it's going to be tight. I mean, overtime is a strong possibility tonight. The Panthers have a lot of depth. They have also a great unit on the power play. They have a lot of weapons. So that's my feeling. But again, everything can happen in the playoffs. We all know that a little penalty, a bad goal, or like a big save, that can be the difference. So it's going to be very exciting to watch. But I have Edmonton tonight.
All right, Edmonton. Like I say, Edmonton off a loss has been very good most of the playoffs. I think they've only dropped two in a row that one time, and that was game two and game three back-to-back against Dallas in the Western Conference Finals. So it'll be interesting. It's a very, very tricky game all around, because I think Florida, you can make a case because they got to play better than they did Saturday. And if they do, they'll have a good chance to win. But you can also say, well, wait a minute, Edmonton, just their speed and their puck control was just causing Florida a ton of problems. Why can't it do the same tonight in game two? And they're off a lost track record, and a little bit of desperation and urgency in their game ramps up a bit. So you can make a good case for Edmonton as well. You can make a good case for the under, because you've got obviously two tremendous penalty kills. What is it now, 29 or 30 in a row penalties killed by the Edmonton Oilers? Florida penalty kill has been great, and it's been pretty damn good. I think 33 of 35, as Aaron says in the chat, that they've killed. Where are the power play goals going to come from? The power play opportunities may be there, but where are the power play goals going to come from? And that's definitely the reasoning for anyone liking the under. But I just get that sense where sometimes when Edmonton throws everything one game and it doesn't go in, the dam is going to burst, because Bobrovsky's that good. I'm not saying burst is in they'll score six or seven tonight. I'm just saying I think Edmonton can get two, maybe even three goals tonight with their urgency level up. And I certainly think Florida's got the potential to get at least a three like they did in game one against Skinner and the Oilers. Plus, they're going to have the puck a lot more. That's the one thing I am convinced. I'll take over 18 shots that the Florida Panthers had in game one. I definitely think you're going to see them have the puck more, be in the offensive zone more. In fact, you know, the only thing I've got pregame, as I mentioned, is the over trifecta, small. But the shots on goal props, and it's risky to say that, but I really do like them. You just hope they cash, and you hope there's no tomfoolery with the shots on goal counter, that they're not taking shots away from you, which we've bitched about and complained about all season long. But I will say there's three shot on goal props that stand out. Two for Florida are Sam and Sam, the law firm of Sam and Sam, Reinhart and Bennett. Bennett stayed under in game one, but for the most part, he's been going over 2.5 shots on goal. He had two shots in game one, but again, Florida didn't have the puck very much that night. They only had 18 shots as a team. You got to think Sam Bennett's going to have more opportunity to shoot the puck tonight, and he only needs one more than what he got in game one to go over 2.5. So I like that. I let Sam Reinhart over 2.5 shots on goal. Makes sense to me. He's been routinely shooting the puck quite a bit. Verhaeghe, I guess, was another consideration as well on the Florida side. But the two that I really like are Reinhart and Bennett, you know, as far as shots on goal are concerned. And then the one for Edmonton's pretty obvious, and that's McDavid, right? You know, over 3.5 shots on goal for him at plus 110 off a loss. He's going to do everything. I could see him, you know, doing a couple of those end-to-end rushes when he gets that burst of speed, which he is so accustomed to, and maybe shoot the puck a little bit more, even though he knows he's got great vision and he can make great plays with the puck as well. I definitely think there's going to be, you know, a little bit of incentive, you know, shoot first, look for the shot, here tonight as well more often, and Tess Bobrovsky. So the over 3.5 for McDavid definitely makes some sense. And then for the goal props, you know, I'm going back to the well with Bennett. In fact, Bennett goal and assist, because he's been racking up the assists too. He had one in game one, plus 225 assist, plus 440 with the goal prop. I'm still, and he had chances in game one, even though they only had 18 shots, Bennett was in on a few of the chances that Florida had. So, you know, back to the well with Sam Bennett, good value there for him. I would say too, for Edmonton, Ryan Nugent-Hopkins is still, you know, as long as he's on the top line with McDavid and he's plus 410 and he got robbed, he got absolutely robbed by Bobrovsky on one of the chances he had in game one. So plus 410, you know, I definitely think for Nugent-Hopkins, you know, is also great value. It's tricky because there's just these crazy great prices with some of these depth players on both sides, with your Coolmint Luostarinens and your Lundells and Evan Rodriguez, who scored one of the goals for Florida the other night. There's some really good value with some of those players, but you're always worried that if you bet too many of these plus prices, I know you only need one or two of them to hit to be profitable, but you also could be staring at another 2-0, 2-1, 3-1, 3-0 game like game one. You're not going to have enough opportunity, you know, to cash some of those goal props. So it's definitely one of those deals where be careful betting too many of them. I'm trying to isolate it to just some of my top, and right now I will say top goal props either side tonight. Nugent Hopkins for Edmonton, Bennett for Florida. Clear top choices, one player for either side. You know, as far as goal props that I like here tonight with the game two between Oilers and Panthers. Shout out to everyone in the chat. Hit the like button. We appreciate it very much. 330 live viewers right now on the show. Just a reminder, we are only on during game days, of course, during the Stanley Cup final. So our next show will be Thursday at 2 p.m. Eastern time to preview game three of the series. And we also have our next live betcast coming up on Thursday night, game three of the Stanley Cup final. And we are definitely looking forward to that. So again, game three, Stanley Cup final, a live betcast coming your way Thursday night. Make sure you tune in. It's a free-for-all betcast, by the way, as well. So very important to point that out. So this one will be open and available to everyone. It is game three, Florida Panthers versus the Edmonton Oilers. It'll be the first game in the series taking place in Rogers Place in Edmonton. So there it is, the Stanley Cup Final Game 3 BetCast, Thursday, 8 p.m. Eastern Time. We are definitely looking forward to that. And again, DM or email me or Alex for a spot on the BetCast, and we will send you the link for the BetCast before it begins. So again, Thursday night, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific, Game 3 Stanley Cup Final, a live BetCast. Looking forward to that for sure. And again, patreon.com/iceguys, $10 per month. Make sure you sign up there. We've got the Players Suite interview series and some lots of off-season content coming up. So it's worth staying a member of the Patreon page even during the off-season. Sides, totals, and player props for the remainder of the Stanley Cup final. Goalie charts, totals charts, and again, lots of off-season content on the way. So $10 per month, patreon.com/iceguys. And of course, check out the Ice Guys store as well. Get your gear and your merch at iceguys.myspreadshop.com.
Yeah, we got just about everything in stock. The FlexFit baseball caps are temporarily out of stock. Those are sold out, but hopefully those will be back in soon. But everything else, all the T-shirts, we've got some new summer items too. We've got women's shorts. We've got polo shirts for men and women. We've got the tank tops coming back as well. So all that stuff, check it out right now over at iceguys.myspreadshop.com.
Yeah, Aaron, you've got a great – I want to point this out. He's got Bobrovsky 20-1. For the Conn Smythe. And game one was a huge step forward for him being on the short list of Florida Panthers to win that award if Florida wins the Stanley Cup. Yeah.
At this point, if you haven't, I mean, you're about to miss the train, but if you haven't taken a Florida future, you like Florida to win the Cup, by all means, probably you should be grabbing Bobrovsky at any plus price at this point, rather than laying 250 or 260 with Florida. Grab Bobrovsky. I saw plus 180 to plus 195 at a couple of shops. So that's kind of the last call for that. If you like Florida, Bobrovsky is definitely the leader in front now. And you still have a plus price by his name for the time being.
Pooley, put your Conn Smythe trophy hat on for us. If you had to pick one player from each team right now, at this point in time, Edmonton and Florida, one player from each team to win the Conn Smythe, who would you go with?
Well, I would go with Bobrovsky like everybody else. I mean, it's pretty obvious why. But if it's Edmonton, there's a few players who really step up. Like I would have to raise my hat to Skinner, Stuart Skinner, who got criticized a lot the last few months, and he played really well. And I'm happy for him. And I feel like if he can keep his energy like that and his focus, he can be like he was pretty good the last few games. I feel like he can keep going and win it for Edmonton. But of course, guys like McDavid and Draisaitl and even Bouchard, I feel like he's a really good D and he's an all around. I think he's the leader in the plus minus or something like he's up there. Also, so he's
his
not
defensive
only in
the game, Marc-Antoine, his defensive game has gotten so much better.
Exactly.
So much better this year. I mean, people last year to talk, well, he's got the great shot. He skates like the wind. He's great on the power play, quarterbacking the power play, and everything about the offensive side of the puck was awesome from day one with Evan Bouchard. But early in his career with Edmonton, his defensive game was not on point. But he has really gotten better at that part of his game, especially this year. And in the playoffs, it's been really good.
Exactly. I think he's a key player, obviously on the power play, but all around is so I would have to say Bouchard is up there. He's really important for that team. If somehow he's, well, we're going to knock on wood, but if he's out of the lineup, that's a huge loss for Edmonton. So I would have to say maybe Bouchard, because I really like this guy.
You know what's helped him out too, Pooley, is playing with Matias Ekholm. I think it's done just a world of good. For him
true.
To play with someone that's a stalwart, a veteran, the Swedish Viking, that's what we call him, Matias Ekholm, with that big fucking beard of his, which is just awesome. And he's been great. He has been, and you can just tell with all the time now Bouchard has played with Ekholm, it's made him a better defenseman.
Absolutely. He's a real leader, and he's better on the defensive side. And like you said, it really elevated his game, and I feel like they're going to play for the next few years like this on the same duel.
No doubt. We do have a couple of NHL news and notes to point out. Nothing official as far as trades or signings or anything. Of course, that's going to be all, you know, once we get to after the season and then into July when free agency opens, the draft, there could be some trades as well. But I do want to mention Jacob Markstrom is apparently very much available again. He doesn't really want to return to Calgary. He knows there's a rebuilding kind of situation going on there. I think Calgary's GM Craig Conroy will explore a trade for Markstrom. And I'm hearing Senators and Devils, 1A, 1B, for his services right now in a potential trade. And both teams could use him, quite honest. But they could use any upgrade in goaltending right now, especially New Jersey. You know, if I'm New Jersey and I'm Tom Fitzgerald, I'm moving mountains to try to make this deal happen. Say what you will about Markstrom. He's had propensity to give up an early goal in a lot of games. He's a little older now. He's way better than anything the New Jersey Devils have right now. And you, if there's anything you can do to make that happen. Yes, Rich H., I'm hearing Toronto is kind of like an outside contender, but I'm hearing Toronto's looking to go a little cheaper with their goaltending. And that was the other point I wanted to mention. Toronto is apparently in big-time talks and in big-time early interest, mutual interest both ways with Laurent Brossoit. And to me, that would be excellent for Toronto. It would be affordable. It would be cost-effective. This is a guy that I think, and he's looking to start minimum 40, 45 games, or at least be at the very least a platoon, co-starting goalie kind of role, if not be the starter. Laurent Brossoit feels he's earned it. And when you look at his numbers 2 years ago with Vegas, before he got injured in that playoff run for Vegas, he was great in between the pipes for the Golden Knights. And then, of course, he got injured. Aiden Hill took over, and the rest was history. But then he signs with Winnipeg prior to last season. He had better numbers at times and played better, I think, down the stretch than even Connor Hellebuyck did for the Winnipeg Jets. That's how good Laurent Brossoit was for the Winnipeg Jets down the stretch last year. He feels he's good enough to, at the very least, be a platoon 1A, 1B goaltender with someone on another team, if not the starter. And I think the Leafs are interested, and I know he'd be interested in Toronto's situation. He's also in his early 30s. He wants to win a cup or at least be in a contending type of role. So I think that I think that might get done, quite honestly, because apparently there's it's really down the road right now, Brossoit and the Leafs. And to be honest with you, if I'm the Leafs, you still think Joe Woll could be your guy long term. So why would you go out and get a Markstrom or a Saros and trade for one of those guys, you know? And when you've got Joe Woll, now I know you're concerned about the injuries he's had, that he's maybe becoming a little injury prone, but you still, when he's been healthy, he's been on the ice, he's been terrific. So a Joe Woll, Laurent Brossoit goaltending tandem next year, Alex, for the Toronto Maple Leafs. If I'm a Leaf fan, you know, I can live with that.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's a fantastic tandem because Woll is essentially your future, right? If you are going to rely and hang your hat on a number one goalie at this time, I think anybody in the Toronto camp would say that Woll is the future. So to have a veteran like Brossoit, and like I said, and run a true 1A, 1B setup, which is what they've been trying to do this entire time. They haven't really been trying to go out and get the guy for quite some time. Well, even with Samsonov and all these other goaltenders, they were still relying on a platoon system. When they were, you know, when they signed Matt Murray and all that, that was all based on running the 1A, 1B system. So I think to go out and get Brossoit, that's your best option. He's been the premier, one of the premier backups, in my opinion. I've had him highly ranked and rated in my charts over the last couple of years as far as backup goaltenders goes. So I think that would be a great fit. And then just kind of double back to what you're saying about the Calgary-New Jersey-Markstrom deal, which that had been kind of kicked around during the trade deadline at points. And different times, of course, the Devils kind of fell out of favor at the deadline before that, so they didn't need to make that move necessarily. They went and made some kind of smaller moves. But now I think it's the perfect time for them as well to go after a Markstrom. They're a team that needs a number one goalie, right? Like that franchise historically, going all the way back to even before Brodeur, they have always relied on having the man in net and then building outward from there on. So to have a Markstrom and for Markstrom to finally be once again in a spot where there's no real competition, you don't have to worry about the 1A, 1B system there because he's going to see the bulk of the games. Now, whether he can weather the storm and play 60, 65 games, that's a whole different story. And, you know, I'm not the biggest advocate of having goalies playing 60-plus games in a season these days. We have our reasons and proof of why that doesn't work as well as it once used to. But in saying that, giving him the opportunity for that, going to a team that I think really only needs a couple of things to be fixed around, turned around to be contenders again. I don't see the Devils being nearly as bad next year as they were this past season. So I think that's a good fit for them, and they can certainly – they have pieces that they can move around. We always talked about how Alexander Holtz seemed like he got the short end of the straw. I would guess he would be a part of any trade going back that involves New Jersey.
Like I said, and Ottawa too could use a Jacob Markstrom. I think he's probably going to end up one of those two cities, one of those two teams, Senators or Devils. And like I said, he'd instantly upgrade both of those teams as far as in between the pipes is concerned. So that'll be interesting to see how that goes. All right. We will be, by the way, we're going to do Bargain Bin Special of the Night and Best Bet. That is coming up in just a moment. Again, shout out to everyone in the chat. We'll be back with Bargain Bin Special of the Night and Best Bets coming up right after we hear from our great sponsor.
Jewelry can say many things on your wedding day. As a wedding band, it can say, "This is a forever symbol of our forever love." As a gift to your wedding party, it can say, "Thanks for standing up there with us." Blue Nile can help you find the piece that says it all and says it beautifully with expert guidance and a wide assortment of jewelry of the highest quality at the best price. Go to BlueNile.com and experience the convenience of shopping Blue Nile, the original online jeweler since 1999. That's BlueNile.com.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Thank you.
All right, Boston and Pink, make sure you check them out. Get 20% off all orders on the website using the promo code ICEGUYS at bostonhempinc.com. Oh, one other thing. Four Nation Faceoff made official over the weekend when Gary Bettman did his State of the NHL address before the Game 1 of the final. As expected, USA, Canada, Sweden, Finland, four-team tournament. And, of course, that'll be next February. That will take place, and it'll be an exciting tournament. Part of me wishes we saw Czech Republic and Slovakia and some of the other nations, and I get that it was put together on short notice, and we'll get back to full-fledged international hockey, obviously, with the Olympics, but still to have that at least next February, the four-nation face-off there, U.S., Canada, Sweden, Finland. It'll still be a pretty fun tournament. It'll just be great to see best countries versus best countries again. You know, best players for every country represented again at a tournament. And that's just going to be a little appetizer. And then, of course, when we get to the Olympics, you know, it'll be every country involved again. So definitely looking forward to that. All right. Bargain bin special of the night. I'm looking forward to this, too. Hoping to cash another nice plus price with a bargain bin special of the night for game two. Alex, where are you headed for the bargain bin tonight in game two?
Well, I talked about one of the plays that I liked just overall generally in the game was Alexander Barkov to get a goal plus 260. So might as well I have to bump that up to two goals here for the bargain bin. Plus 2200 is available at BetMGM. He had 2 points in game one. He's obviously, you know, one of the big offensive pieces. And I think he's a guy that kind of the big three for the offense, right? When we talk about Tkachuk, Verhaeghe, and Barkov, I think Barkov almost sometimes gets a little bit underlooked. You know, we look at the physicality of Tkachuk. We look at the finishing prowess of Verhaeghe. But Barkov has just as much talent, and he got the high praise from Gretzky in game one, saying he's one of the best defensive players that Gretzky's seen since Brian Trottier. So that's a hell of a high praise for sure. But he definitely can deliver offensively as well, and I expect him to do that maybe certainly once, but maybe a little twice as well. So at plus 2,200, my bargain bin, Alexander Barkov to get two goals tonight. It's my bargain bin special.
How about that for a bargain bin? He's going deep into that bargain bin. Plus 2,200 odds, 22-1, Alexander Barkov. Sasha, as he's affectionately known as, Barkov for the Florida Panthers. Over 1.5 goals, plus 2,200 for Alex B. Smith with his bargain bin special of the night. To Marc-Antoine Pouliot, I'll just throw it out there. Think of a player under the radar, Pouli, that you think might get on the board tonight. Just throw a name out there, and I'll give the price to everyone. Who do you think under the radar, someone that could maybe radar, impact, score a goal tonight?
I feel like a guy like Evander Kane has to step up, and he needs to score tonight to win. So I'd take this guy, Evander Kane, to score.
You know what? I've been saying he's been due for several games. I know a lot of people have. And I'll say this, win or lose it with this bet, or winner, if he scores or not, this is a pretty damn good price. Plus 490 for Evander Kane to score a goal tonight for the Edmonton Oilers. So we'll lock that in for Marc-Antoine Pouliot as his bargain bin special of the night, Evander Kane plus 490. I'm going back to Bennett. You know, I know the other night he didn't score, but he did get an assist and he had chances and he's still a great price. Plus 440, Sam Bennett. Florida Panthers plus 440 for my bargain bin special of the night. All right, best bet to wrap up the show. Alex, what do you like for best bet?
Yeah, like I said, keeping it light with this game too. So we're just kind of going right back with another player prop. And like I said, Barkov to get a goal at plus 260. I think that's a decent price for him. He said detailing, you know, how this, he's been one of the key forwards all postseason long, and I think he'll find a way to get on the board. So Alexander Barkov for one goal, that's my best bet at plus 260.
There you go. So Alexander Barkov, two goals for the bargain bin. Alexander Barkov to score a goal for Alex B. Smith with his best bet plus 260 for game two tonight. Marc-Antoine, what have you got? I assume you might be going to a certain team that you used to play for as your best bet tonight.
Yeah, I'm going to have to pick Bouchard on the power play. I think he's going to snipe one.
Oh, wow. Holy shit. We can give you, do you want the goal prop for Bouchard for best bet, or do you want the power play point? Which one do you want? Goal or power play point?
Let's,
he did say power play.
Yes. I think on the power play, he's going to score, but like a point on the power play. He's going to be effective. He's the key at the blue line there.
All right. You know what? Unfortunately, I wish we could bet power play goals, Pooley. I do.
That
would be awesome. Unfortunately, they only offer. So we'll make the power play point prop for Evan Bouchard, Pooley's best bet. There you go. Marc-Antoine Pouliot, we'll go with Evan Bouchard. Power play point plus 160 is the best price out there with that. So that'll be the best bet here for our guest. Marc-Antoine Pouliot. My best bet, I'm going to go with, this is a tricky, I don't feel strong about anything. It would be one leg of the over trifecta. I'll just go over 5.5 here, minus 110. I do like the first period, though, with the both teams to score in the first period over. Again, if I had to, again, I just got to see after what we saw in game one, we had a plethora of chances. We had expected goals combined to close to 7. Obviously, you're talking about a great goalie in Bobrovsky. You're talking about phenomenal penalty kills, so I know what I'm up against going in this direction, but I'm still going to go there. Over 5.5 for me in game two for my best bet here for Oilers-Panthers. All right, that's a wrap. Marc-Antoine Pouliot, awesome to reconnect and bring you back on the show here today. Thanks for joining us, and hope you enjoyed it.
I really did. Thanks again for the invite, and I'll see you again, I hope.
Yeah, no doubt. We'll definitely see you again soon down the road for sure. A reminder, the Ice Guys is live, not 7 days a week anymore. Normally during the course of the season, we're 7 days a week, but we're usually Monday to Friday, 2 p.m. Eastern, Saturday and Sunday, noon Eastern. If you can't watch the show live, download the Ice Guys podcast in audio form on all major podcast platforms. And of course, also download the True TV Plus app. You can watch the Ice Guys show on there, and you can download the True TV Plus app on all Roku, Amazon, and Apple devices. For Alex B. Smith and our special guest, Marc-Antoine Pouliot, I'm Ian Cameron. Have a great Monday night. Enjoy game two of the Stanley Cup Final, and we will be back on Thursday with a doubleheader daily show to preview game three at 2 p.m. Eastern and our live betcast, 8 p.m. Eastern, Thursday night. For game three of the Stanley Cup Final. So come on back and join us again Thursday, once again on the Ice Guys.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.